Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Down with Sonia joins us here on the Spring Dance Hot Tub Hotline on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dallas, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, when I read this the other day, we as a team were immediately on a manhunt to find you simply because you don't know how often this comes up. I'm a big movie fan, and yet we have a lot of listeners, and I'm sure you hear this, that maybe they'll dabble in DVD or something on demand, but they're not going to movie theaters. They're not looking at movies. What have you unearthed? Why is that?
Well, I grew up in Dallas, and, you know, put aside the Cowboys-Eagles rivalry for a moment. Dallas is a very conservative city, but it's also a city that knows how to make money, and it understands the concept of money and big business and real estate and all kinds of stuff that I grew up around. And so I went out to Los Angeles to get into the film business, and when I got there, everyone was believing that they had made the great American movie, and that's just not the case. And over the years, Los Angeles got more and more crowded, and it went further and further left. And I just couldn't find my place there anymore. I felt like I was walking around on Mars, and I didn't have a lot in common with my peers. And I was very frustrated. And in fact, it was making me angrier. So I had to get out of Dodge, and I sat down and talked to my wife, and she was a West Coast girl, and thank God she agreed to let us move the family to Dallas. And so we went back home, and what I decided to do when I looked around Texas, I felt like there was a market that was underserved. The coasts call us the flyover states, but the truth is it's middle America, and it's a different audience, and it appeals to, different movies appeal to this audience. So I said, let me just make movies that don't pander to this audience, that don't judge them if they vote a certain way, that don't judge them if they don't, prescribe to the ways of California. And it worked. Shocker.
Yeah, absolutely, it's working. I love what you call your Louisiana cousins test. You have a lot of them there in Louisiana. And if you tell them that you have Vince Vaughn, Kurt Russell, or Don Johnson in your film, they go blanking crazy, says the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are the people who our movies have really done well with. I mean, interestingly enough, our movies are also doing well with the critics and who are predominantly on the coast, but honestly, the middle American audience is our audience, and we're really proud of that. We sell extremely well at Walmart. We do really well on video on demand and cable and digital downloads and Netflix and things like that, Amazon Prime. We would love to be in more theaters, and we'll get there over time. But for now, it's too expensive to go to the movie theaters. So who can afford a babysitter and all that kind of stuff? People just want to come home on Friday nights after working their tail off, and they want to just relax and be entertained.
Well, you sold 40,000 DVDs. I guess that's Vince Vaughn's film, which is the title. I think I have it here. Is Brawl in Cell Block 99, that sold 40,000 DVDs in the first 2 weeks of release at the big box stores. That is very, very good. I mean, for people to consumer one, but to actually punk down your money and buy it, that says something.
Yeah, and I'm always marveled at the visual of 40,000 people going through the Walmart checkout counters, right, and buying the DVD. It's just fascinating to me. And I think that goes to show that when you put your heart and soul into something, and, you know, we have talented filmmakers and talented actors and people that audiences can get behind, and you don't pander to the audience, I think it really shows that it can be not only a successful artistic venture, but really a business model. And I'm my own audience. So I go to NASCAR races. I'm going to the Indy 500 this weekend. I was in a fraternity. Oh gosh, you know, I guess that's a bad word now. But I was the typical American kid, and I just want to make movies for myself. And then if I do a good job, people are going to feel the authenticity there, and they're going to respond positively to it. So that's the model boiled down in the most simplistic terms.
We're talking about Dawood Sanye here on Talk Radio 1210. Now, you did a film with Mel Gibson, and boy, Gibson has at least four or five films I can think of that he's tremendous in. But you talk about baggage out there in the Hollywood sense, etc. But I think he's kind of rehabilitated at this point. What did you do with Gibson?
So we did a movie called Dragged Across Concrete. We are actually finishing. we're finishing the post production right now, and Lionsgate has picked up the distribution rights, and they're planning a release sometime this year. So we're going to show them the movie in July, and then they decide from there what happens. But when we cast Mel, we got a lot of heat. A lot of people were saying, "How dare you?" or you can't do this, and that just proved my point even further that we're on the right track. Anytime you have backlash like that, you're typically onto something, because people are putting their own insecurities onto your project. And I hate the phrase, you know, all press is good press, but it was a case in this situation where we knew we'd cast the right guy, and we made a great movie, and guess what? Mel was the best actor for the role, and that's all that matters. And after we shot the movie, he came up and he gave me a big hug, and he said, "I think that's the best movie I've acted in X amount of years." And I said, "Sweet." That felt really good to have
big time
Mel
stuff.
Gibson, you know, Mel Gibson give you that big hug and tell you he thought you did a good job.
Now, Dawood, you have a film coming up, at least according to the Wall Street Journal, a school film, a bit controversial. School shooting, we sadly saw one in Santa Fe just on last week. And a girl stops the bad guy in this. So it's not a good guy with a gun. It's a female. Somehow or another gets the weapon and stops the bad guys.
There was a movie a couple of years ago made by a very talented filmmaker named Gus Van Sant, and it was called Elephant. This movie we are making is not Elephant. If you want to put it in Hollywood terms, it's female Die Hard in a school shooting. Now, people could say that's insensitive, and people could say that is triggering, you know, emotions for these students and creating, you know, more fear. But I would argue the opposite. I would say that movies should reflect society when they can, and they should be entertaining. So we're gonna confront head on a situation that is real. School shootings are a thing, and people have real trouble figuring out what the solution is here. But we're not going to shy away from telling a great story just because it's sensitivity in the news. Secondly, I lost both of my parents to domestic gun violence. And so it's not that I'm taking on the mantle, but I feel that I understand the sensitivity here, and I can be the one to bring a movie like this to market, because I've been through this situation twice. I've received the phone calls from the police departments twice, saying, your parent, your mom, your dad has been shot and killed. Wow. So I don't really think anyone can tell me I can't do this movie. And, you know, we raise all of our money independently, so we're excited to make it, and it's something important to us now more than ever.
Hey, Dallas, before we give the website where people can track this and see this, because I don't think it's on their radar screen, we're thrilled with it and want to do more of it with you here in Philadelphia if possible. Are you in the camp that says that Hollywood, you know, I'm thinking of religious films or some of the films we're talking about here, they know these will make money, they know there's an audience out there one way or another, but they won't do it because of their politics. The Hollywood types that I know, and I've had Quentin Tarantino on the show. It was by mistake, and I kept him on. It was a weird thing. I didn't ask him that. It's a long story. But it seems to me, I can't believe they won't make a buck if these things are successful. Where do you come down? Are they ignoring this because of their politics, or do they just think they're not going to make money on these things?
Well, I think that every audience responds to different things. But, yes, Hollywood has their own personal obstacles that they've built in that simply won't allow them to make certain products. Or when they do make these products, they have to come out and state to their friends all of the reasons why it's working that are not because of the obvious real reasons. So take Roseanne, for example. I've watched every single episode of it. I think it is phenomenally well made, and I'm really excited it's back. I really enjoy that show. It's doing gangbusters in the ratings. Sure, it dips down, and every time it dips down, they put out a hit piece about the ratings or tanking, which is not true. But the president of ABC had to come out, you know, at the upfronts, which is the New York TV Festival Week, and state that they're going to tone down the politics in Roseanne.
Right.
And I'm sitting there thinking, does Roseanne know this? Because I don't think that's the case. I think people put their own personal biases in their jobs. It's natural, and I'm not asking anyone to change their ways. But what I'm doing is I'm carving out my own universe over here, and I'm doing it my way. So by that point, I just want them to say, you know, you do you, and we'll do us, and everyone can have a space in the marketplace, and everyone can be friends. You know, that's
a good idea. You know, one thing I would add to it, too, and I'm thinking about this based upon your parents. These people might be living different lives than you, and you don't know me, but, I mean, I grew up in middle-class South Philly, and it animates everything that I do. Some of them just have grown up, even if they're not intentionally biased, their worldview is so shaped, and even if they're trying, they just don't have the same background. And as a result, what they put up there, it kind of reeks through, and it is going to be different than a lot of middle America, possibly.
I'm not suggesting that anybody who goes to Los Angeles and gets sucked into the system didn't have strong parental guidance or strong moral compass. I'm not suggesting any of that. But on that front, when you go to a liberal arts college or an Ivy League school or UCLA or any of these, you know, Cal Berkeley, and you spend 4 years there, it's impossible not to be somewhat indoctrinated by your surroundings, right? Your surroundings are everything. So then, then you graduate from those colleges, you end up in Los Angeles or New York, and you're in a business where not only is it nearly the supermajority is is liberal in their politics, but if you're a conservative, you are actually either excommunicated or you have to be silent. And so I just said I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off this, and I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to apologize for it. And if people want to come after me, it doesn't matter because I've built my own infrastructure, and I don't report to anybody. So that's the great thing about being
good
independent.
Right.
And it's been great. So far, so good.
I'm so glad we found this, Dallas, in the Wall Street Journal. Now, where do people go to see your films, what you're up to, and the whole thing? What's the best thing to do?
Sure. My two most successful movies so far, Bone Tomahawk and Brawl in Cell Block 99, are both available right now on iTunes and via Amazon Prime. And so you can check them out there. We have Puppet Master, a reboot of the Puppet Master franchise, coming out August 17th in theaters, and then Dragged Across Concrete later this year in theaters via Lionsgate. So our website is cinestate.com, C-I-N-E-S-T-A-T-E, and we've just acquired Fangoria Magazine, Fangoria.com, and our first new edition is coming out in October. So lots of good stuff.
Great stuff. Well, we'll continue. We'd love to talk with you periodically, Dallas, because this is right where our listeners are. So thank you. Thanks so much. I never thought we'd have a guy named Dallas from Dallas on. That certainly suits the audience. We'll see. Maybe the week we play the Cowboys, we can have you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, appreciate it, and thanks for your time as well.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.